We got engaged.
Carrington's interest. That'll do.
Keep up to date with the latest WSL action and the biggest interviews.
Team keeping an eye on our games. It just shows how big we're growing.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
Alan Quinlan is with us. Alan, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. How are you?
Getting carried away, Alan. We're getting carried away. We're enjoying life. We're enjoying being sports fans. We're enjoying being at full stadiums. And we're enjoying beating the shit out of the All Blacks.
Yeah, I think there's obviously going to be... we've probably been here before and... Are we going to get carried away?
Yes, let's get carried away. Why not? Are we not allowed to get carried away? Is that not the whole point of life, to feel alive?
Yeah, I think, look, obviously what happened a couple of years ago and on the back of winning a Grand Slam, summer tests in Australia and then beating New Zealand, we started off 2019 with that disappointing and comprehensive loss to England in Dublin, and that's... spelled a lot of negativity that year, which culminated in a disappointing end to the World Cup. So I suppose I'm looking at a lot of stuff online and even people on social media and people who most very obviously don't care but don't like rugby either. They all seem to be bringing up the fact that it's a friendly and we're getting carried away. I've said this before, there's no such thing as friendlies in test matches. And if that was a friendly match, and there's no trophies there, there's World Cup points, rankings on the line. And you'll have that bit of negativity. And I even heard my colleague Shane Coleman on News Talk Breakfast this morning, and he's adamant that it was a friendly and that we're all getting carried away.
He's a soccer man, though. You want to be careful of Shane.
But I don't know what we're supposed to do, Jerry. You know what I mean? I was involved in a number of Irish teams who got trounced by New Zealand, and we went close a few times down in New Zealand. They're the best team consistently, best international rugby team ever. Consistently, they're right up there at the very, very top. And we're a pretty small rugby nation. None of us expected this in the last couple of weeks, given that Ireland have only played, they did only one test match before this. And I said this in 2018, none of the players or Joe Schmidt or anyone internally started shouting and roaring saying we're going to win a World Cup. We put ourselves in a very, very good position, and things didn't go well for us.
Yeah.
And that's just a reality. So look, I don't know, are we allowed to celebrate? Are
yes,
we allowed to be happy?
Yes, we are. I think,
should we bow down to the negativity of some people who
I think one of the things that people who like rugby should do is ignore the people who don't like rugby, who are generally trying to just troll them. That's the point. It's like here's a few little buttons that I can press to annoy people and to rain on their parade, because it's a very Irish thing. It's like, you're having fun over there.
It's a very Irish
too much
thing,
fun.
Yeah, and it's I said this so many times before. I watched the soccer team last night with great enthusiasm. I grew up watching Euro 88, special memories for me when Ray Houghton scored, Italia 90, all that stuff. And I was, I'm a rugby man, most probably, because that's the career I went down and the path I went down. But
you're more rounded.
I love
than
the
that,
other Green. Sports. Pardon?
You're more rounded than that.
Well, I love the GA as well. And I sometimes guess, I have friends, GA friends, who complain and give out about the rugby coverage. Does it get hyped up a bit? Yeah, for sure. But the reality is, I love all sports. And
all sports coverage gets hyped up.
It does,
from the moment that Liam Griffin christened hurling the Riverdance of sport, Cheltenham is the Olympics of horse racing. All sports, it's supposed to be a diversion from the fact that the world is burning. And
exactly.
People have this narrative that it's just entirely private schools. There's a lot of private schools players play for Ireland, but I didn't. I came through the club system. So I think I can argue the point that I never had an issue with snobbery in the game. And yeah, was I frustrated at times when I wasn't picked in Irish under 21 teams and stuff like that? But the reality is that, you know, it's, look, it is what it is. Some people want to knock the victory. And I probably felt for the first time ever, which is something that we're getting used to, I suppose, in winning a test against New Zealand. I felt a bit guilty about kind of being celebrating and being happy because I was kind of tempering the situation on Saturday night.
I think that's so. There's two things, right? We won a line out with 76 and a half minutes on the clock, and the crowd started going ole ole ole, and I was like, too soon. Just as Rob Herring gets pinged for not throwing it in fast enough, and like, oh Jesus, this could end horribly. So that dread of losing is always there. And then as soon as we won, we all turned to each other and went, yep, peak too soon again. So like, of course
I gotta ask Quinny a question here. Is this staggering to you that you read the Irish Independent of a Monday and you read stats like this? Territory, Ireland 65%, possession in opposition 22, 36.9 versus 13, total passes exactly double, 212-106. This tackles made 238 by the Kiwis, 101 from Ireland. This is insane.
Yeah, we killed them.
Yeah, they're insane stats. And look, I was doing speaking, obviously, to people last week, and one of the alarming stats that jumped out that in their 13 tests this year, they've scored 96 tries and 675 points. It's the most by any international team in the calendar year. So people are saying, well, we beat New Zealand. I was like, those stats were jumping out to me, 96 tries in 13 games. Now, two of them were against Tonga and the USA, where they broke the 100-point mark. But it was probably the most comprehensive and controlled and dominant performance we've ever seen from an Irish team against New Zealand. I think at times it just goes to show how good they are and can be when they had just sporadic moments in the game. Cody Taylor's try was a mistake at the back of the line-out. Will Jordan then comes up with a bit of individual brilliance with the chip and scores a try. Always that feeling of nervousness. But, Johnny, you're right. 241 tackles, Ireland made 103. It's just alarming. They only won 56 rucks, New Zealand. I don't think anyone they've ever played, even when they've been beaten by England in that World Cup or beaten at times by South Africa, had they that little amount of possession and winning rocks for themselves. So it was an alarming stat.
The bit about allowing yourself to celebrate, it is because we are obsessed as a country with World Cup. That is baked into our rugby culture now because of the way that we've decided that head coaching decisions are based on success or failure in the World Cup. And I think it's right to have that little bit in your head for the future, that there's, you know, that is always going to be there. But at the same time, to really enjoy the fact that Caelan Doris and Furlong and Sexton and James Ryan all played in the same team, fully fit, I think potentially for the first time really ever, that they had played a big game where they were all fully fit and all in reasonable form. I don't remember Andy Farrell having that opportunity yet, and they all played pretty close to their potential. And I think that's the thing that gets rugby fans excited, and they should be excited by that.
Yeah, I think, like I said, it was such a comprehensive performance. You know, Ronan Kelleher, for me, he's just been such a brilliant find. What an outstanding player. And having Porter himself and Furlong, they're world class. They can be world class. To be very careful what I say here, because people will take these comments and say, well, we're going to win the World Cup now, and I said this. But Andrew Porter, Kelleher and Furlong, that's as good as right up there with the best front rows in the world. It's not just their scrummaging. It's their ball-carrying ability. It's their ability to be so physical, to win collisions, to stop the opposition, the work rate. Caelan Doris, Jack Cohn and Van der Fleer were sensational in the back row. Gibson Park had a superb game as well. I thought he was really outstanding. And I was just kind of in awe with the way they played and the ambition and the width. And you've got to give Mike Catt credit. He's come under a lot of pressure and a lot of criticism in the early parts of Andy Farrell and,
the Telegraph.
And Simon Easterby.
Yeah, well, the Telegraph referred
Simon
to
Easterby
it
as, well.
As Mike Catt's Mona Lisa. The other thing the Telegraph have done is they're the ones who are pissing on our chips this morning because Farrell's star rising and England return is real possibility is how they're reporting on this. Now, I think they're just trying to suck their readers into reading it because in this is Tom Carey, who was at the Aviva. He makes the point that Ireland must travel to New Zealand for three tests next summer where their progress will be tested. But right now, it's really hard to imagine the former Rugby League Man of Steel not being at or near the top of any RFU wish list. I mean, they already have a coach. But anyway, whether he would be tempted given how things ended 5 years ago and given the project he has his teeth firmly into is another matter. So, I mean, I'm going to take that with my usual pinch of Telegraph salt. But at the same time, get your hands off, buddy. Screw you. We're the one who picked him up and said, yeah, come on. Gave him somewhere to cut his teeth as an international head coach, and it's bearing fruit.
Yeah, well, look, he's done a very good job. I think at the start it took him time, and he's assembled a good coaching team. Mike Catt, as I said, he deserves credit for what happens, and maybe the evolution we've seen at the end of the Six Nations. Simon Easterby, the defence was outstanding. I think they were just, they looked like a team that really knew what they wanted to do and they played with a freedom and at times off the cuff, but their accuracy was superb. And I think that's probably player driven as well to get to this point. And the only chance you have of winning these type of games is to be brave and ambitious. And, you know, when you see the penalties early on, the first penalty of the game was very kickable and Sexton goes to the corner. It's very risky, but it kind of showed the mentality that they had to go for this and they kept going for, you know, for 80 minutes. And people, the word peaked. Have we peaked too early? Are we peaking at the wrong time? You can't decide when you peak. I think Andy Farrell has made, he's probably capped up close up to 20 players since he's taken over, or me even more. There was 11 over the summer. There was probably 12 or 14 before that, I think was the number. So it's probably up over 20. So he's tried to change the cycle and find new players and get new people in there. Have we issues around 10 depth there? Yes, for sure. Gibson Park has come in at scrum half.
Yeah,
but you don't just peak. You don't decide to peak. You try and win matches in front of you.
Let's tease out Gibson Park, right? Because Gibson Park wasn't first choice at Leinster. He was actually second choice. So it was kind of 50-50 in the big games. But it was trending towards him not being first choice. And they've decided that he's going to be in their squad all the time. And they stuck with him. And they've been really rewarded by the two best performances I've ever seen Jameson Gibson-Park give in the Japan game. And then he backed it up by being able to do fairly similar stuff against the All Blacks, which suggests he's taken his game to a new level. That's down to the Irish coaching ticket. James Lowe, I think the general consensus was, oh, he's got to come out of the team because the defence is too much for liability. Yeah, bollocks, as he referred to everybody out there talking about his D in the aftermath on Channel 4, which was hilarious and also very endearing. They stuck with him and they got their rewards for it. So, like, they're brave when it comes to making decisions and they're not listening to what's going on outside. They obviously clearly have players in their heads. For me, that's a sign of a coaching ticket who is very ambitious about what they're trying to achieve.
I would say so, yeah. But look, they've got to be careful themselves. I don't think they'd be pleased with what James Lowe said after the game. I know he's a bit of a free spirit and stuff like that, but whatever about criticising the media for challenging him, and rightly so, they challenged him. So I don't know why he's kind of getting so frustrated and kind of bringing that point up, because he made some real defensive errors. Of course, he's somewhat way working on for 6 months, and that's fine. And he'll get the credit for that, and he's got the credit for that. The thing I didn't like was when he mentioned South Africa and the way the game should be played, because someone needs to remind James Lowe that we play South Africa in the World Cup in 2 years at the pool. And I can guarantee you Jacques Nienaber and Rassie Erasmus will find that comment. And will
I missed that. I missed that. What did he say?
He said that we're playing the game the way it should be played, not like South Africa. The spirit of the game and the way the game should be played. You know, you have to be very careful when you bring any other countries into it. And I don't think the Irish manager may be pleased with that. I wouldn't be pleased with it. But look, he is a free spirit. It's not a big issue. But
they called us softies, though. We've got the videotape of being called softies by them. So, you know, there's material on both.
Well, I never liked giving any sort of ammunition to any team and people. You know, you've got to back it up, and maybe he will back it up in 2 years of the World Cup. But look, it's a long way away. Going back to what I was saying about peaking. What this team needs to do now, and I think Sexton said it, is they need to get better. They're going to lose matches along the way. You know, they go to England and France in the Six Nations. Could we have bad performance? Of course, there's always a potential there that you're going to get on the day, you're going to get beaten. I think he's got to try and keep developing the game. I think the problem maybe at the World Cup was that we probably didn't have a plan A, B or C in the tank. That it doesn't matter if you can revert to type and kick the litter off the ball in wet conditions or grind out a result, that's fine. But having the ability to attack like the team did at the weekend and evolving that and making that better and better. And there's an athleticism to this team because you just look at Doris and Cohn and the football ability they have. And like I said, the front row. So he's capped a lot of players. I don't think we should get carried away because I do think that certain teams will look at that game now. England and France will look at it and they'll take, you've got to really. And a lot of the time, rugby is about those collisions and about the physicality up front. And
yeah.
If you really get stuck into the opposition, you can stop them. And, you know, when that happens to Ireland, how are they going to cope? How are they going to cope on a day where the line-out kind of goes a little bit awry, where they get smashed on the gain line and they have to start kicking a little bit again? And they're the ones that, in the last couple of years, have brought a lot of the negativity,
yeah.
You know, a couple of matches against England. So it's about trying to get better, not peaking, just trying to get better and add one or two players along the way. I think it was a brilliant performance and they deserve an awful lot of credit for what happened.
Yeah, we should enjoy it when it happens because the future, who knows, it could be grim. They might hammer the crap out of us in a World Cup quarterfinals. We'll always have this night.
And the reality, Ger, is if we come out of that group and go to a quarterfinal, we're playing New Zealand or France.
Yeah.
You're playing France on home soil or you're playing a New Zealand side who... they can change 10 players in a couple of weeks and there could be 10 different New Zealanders there next summer for the test, and they could be just superstars, phenomenal athletes. So it isn't about peaking and making a decision to peak at the wrong time. It's a lot of rubbish that. It's just about this team trying to get resilience and being pretty consistent now in the next 2 years. And like Brian Cody has done with Kilkenny for so long, one or two players, changing them year on year and making sure that you freshen things up all the time and you keep people on their toes.
Yeah.
I think that's the challenge now for Andy Farrell.
All right. Quinny, good stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Alan Quinlan giving us his thoughts there on Ireland's 29-20 win against the All Blacks.
OTB AM
with Gillette. Proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.